You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Dr. Jason Hill of the DePaul University, where he is professor of philosophy, about, the philosophy that seems to be operating on college campuses and in much of our polity these days, which is a profound enmity, it seems, to our country, our founding documents, the Judeo-Christian moral and cultural and civilizational underpinnings of America as we have known her. And Professor, you come to this again as an immigrant. You have been here for quite some time, though, and spent much of your life in academia. And something you said at the end of the previous break, I just wanted to come back to, and that is this seeming determination on the part of many in the professoriate, and for that matter, those who it has produced over the past generation or two, to destroy America as we've known her. What is up with that? And how far advanced do you think they are with this project?
I think they're very far advanced. And I think just to answer your previous question of what's up with it, I think that, again, the philosophy of the radical multicultural left, which has since the 1960s, I think, been devoted to destroying the centrality and the universality of Western civilization is to blame. The idea that Western culture is largely the work of white heterosexual men, and that they and their culture give an undeserved authority to their ways of knowing or of seeing things, and that this serves their particular interest. And I think that the irony is lost on the advocates of this view or those who promulgate this view, because the irony is that these dead white men or the very Western culture that they're criticizing or civilization is the very civilization that has abolished many of the social ills and the social defect that America was born with, chattel slavery. England and the United States have been responsible largely for the promotion of today marital equality, whichever, however one feels about this, the promotion of women's equality, the advancement of the causes of blacks through affirmative action, regardless of how one feels about such issues. So the paradox here is that the very culture, the Western culture that they think is so demeaning and that is so oppressive, out of this culture has arisen so many commitments to forms of egalitarianism.
You just made a tremendously important point that there is at the heart of the critique of Western civilization, and particularly its practice by heterosexual white males, this notion that it's not self-correcting, and yet it clearly has been. Now, to some extent, I think it's probably fair to say that's been as a result of pressure from women activists and black activists and the like. But it is also, I think, correct to say, as you have, that some of it is a function of the moral consciousness and practice of people who are so widely reviled. And let's be clear, you are, I guess they call you a person of color, and you're teaching in a university in which I think it's fair to say there's a lot of sentiment that's hostile to the things you've just described as the targets of the radical multicultural left. You must be subjected to considerable criticism on campus and from your peers for having these seemingly heretical views. Is that correct?
Well, on campus, I think they're a little bit afraid of me in the sense that I think they're very polite and cordial, my colleagues. I'm very happy to be working at DePaul. It's a wonderful university in many respects. And whatever they think of me privately, they certainly haven't told me to my face. However, I and my work have been subjected to a great deal of criticism in the publication of my books. And my work has been received with horror by people on the academic left, outside of my private university, just speaking in terms of my colleagues. Because it's how dare he, this black man from Jamaica, criticize the the discourse that we think we have a coercive monopoly on. Not even, again, realizing the cruel irony that the institutional infrastructures provided by this great country, devoted to liberty and freedom at its core, is what gives them the platform to criticize. This is the only country I know of where it gives its enemies a platform to destroy the very foundations on which it's built. Europe is following suit, I think, through caving into Islamicization of its continent, which we can talk about, which I feel very, very passionately about. But I think the same thing is happening in the American Academy and on the radical academic left, and that this is bleeding into the consciousness of students.
I want to come to some of these other topics that you've rightly indicated we need to discuss. I do, just wrapping this one up, though, I want to ask you, to what extent do you think this has taken on an irreversible quality in American academia, Professor Hill? Is it too late for those like you who are manfully struggling against this orthodoxy? And how do you see students at the moment? Are they open to the kinds of things that you're teaching? Are they seeking it out? Or is their view that this is a heresy that is to be, you know, abjured at all costs?
Well, yes, I think to go back to answer your first question, is it too late? Is this something that is irreversible? And I think the answer is no. I think the solution is for those who are being destroyed and those who are being attacked to retract their support for the radical academic left in both the humanities and the social sciences. So I have been writing about in recent months very passionately that I think the government should defund those universities that are devoted to anti-Americanism, that are devoted to cultural Marxism, that are in some sense devoted to the undermining of American values and that are promoting radical Islam in the universities. So when we begin the process of disbanding and defunding these units, and when private donors, alumni realize that they're paying $40,000, $50,000 a year to have their children indoctrinated, I think we will see more conservative-minded professors ascending in universities, in terms of ascending in the humanities, I should say, and the social sciences. And to answer your second question, I do think that students are hungry for alternative ideas. I think that this politicization of the classroom, in which every single Western thinker is now seen as a white supremacist, this is the experience I had last year when I teach a class on the history of European political theory, and I teach John Locke, Thomas Hobbes, Rousseau, even going back to Aristotle and his Republic, and people say, I am not studying these white supremacists. I've had four or five students, and each year it becomes increasingly worse. At the same time, when you present the case that these so-called white supremacist thinkers are responsible for giving these students the absolute temerity and audacity to say that they refuse to study a text in front of their professor, where do you get this vocabulary of resistance from? I ask them. It's coming from these traditions that you're condemning. So I think they're young, they're malleable, but I think so long as we have a policy in which our public and our private universities are being funded uncritically by people who have no idea what they're funding,
both in the public sector and in the private. Very important point. Professor Hill, we have to pause for just a moment. We are going to continue our extraordinarily interesting and, I think, thoughtful conversation with Dr. Jason Hill by talking next about freedom of speech on campus as a canary in the mineshaft, perhaps, for the problem that we've just been discussing. That and more straight ahead.